You have aggressive cost reduction goals, but the supply base that you manage is performing well, and you can't fathom the thought of sourcing and potentially disrupting what has been reliable supply. Do you just relegate yourself to failure to achieve your cost reduction goals? Or are there alternatives to sourcing that can reduce costs while maintaining reliable supply? In the next 20 to 30 minutes, you'll learn how collaborating with existing suppliers can result in an unexpected amount of cost savings. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Purchasing and Supply Management podcast series. This is your host, Charles Dominick, the President and Chief Procurement Officer of Next Level Purchasing, and my guest for today is Rob Patton. Rob is an associate with Paladin Associates, a consulting firm that offers an extensive array of services to assess issues, reduce costs, improve processes, and accelerate growth, resulting in improved productivity and profitability. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Charles.
Thanks for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Rob, when an organization is looking to reduce its expenditures on goods and services, it seems like the first thought in many organizations is, let's find cheaper suppliers. But in many cases, switching suppliers is either not practical or it's a suboptimal alternative. You have built a reputation for achieving cost savings from an existing supply base. What are some of the techniques you employed to achieve cost reductions?
Well, purchasing and supply management professionals do have a huge array of tools and approaches that can be used to deliver world-class cost savings, even working within the current supply base. There's a lot of variation and customization possible, and I wouldn't even begin to list every conceivable variation. But what I will do is touch on several techniques that I've used in actual commercial practice that have achieved some very good results and which, in my opinion, have very broad applicability across all kind of spend pools and in all organizations, large and small. The first three of these tools are what I would call fundamental. They should be familiar to all purchasing professionals, and they're in widespread use. They've been around for a long time. But in spite of that, they're worth mentioning here because they can sometimes be taken for granted or overlooked, and they really should be part of any planning or strategizing process that's aimed at cost reduction. The first of these is the competitive inquiry, very basic tool. Some people prefer to call it the RFQ, or request for quotations. This requires that there has to be a legitimate opportunity to put the requirements out for bid, but it doesn't really oblige the buyer to alter the current supply base. The second fundamental approach is negotiating for lower pricing. In the old days, this was sometimes referred to as jawboning. It can take the place of the competitive inquiry, or it can be used when the inquiry hasn't produced the desired results. The third fundamental approach is what I call ask and you may receive. And it's the simple task of making sure you ask your suppliers if they have cost savings ideas. You never know when the answer here may surprise you. There's a handful of what I would call advanced techniques. And these next four approaches can be considered when maybe the other three have either failed to deliver or have not delivered all the results you want. And maybe you feel that you've reaped all the low-hanging fruit, and that gets you into these more advanced techniques. I call them advanced because they tend to require that the buyer reach out for support and resources beyond the purchasing and supply management area, both internally and externally with suppliers. They require a fair amount of team building, project management, change management, and other activities, but the rewards here can be well worth the extra effort. The first of these is aggregation. Others may refer to this by other different names. This approach would encompass any effort that makes the buyer's requirements more attractive to the seller by bundling those requirements or aggregating them with the volume of other buyers. And this can be internal across business units or geographies or external with other companies. Next is spec rationalization. Some people will recognize that term, and I think of it as this is cleaning out the garage or attic. Every company I know of has, both large and small, has some area that has suffered from benign neglect. It's never had enough priority to really pay close attention to it. it becomes neglected and it just keeps growing. And invariably, there's waste and duplication in these areas that can result in some pretty good cost savings. The next one is working the supply chain or leveraging the supply chain. And in this technique, you're kind of stepping back and looking at your supplier's suppliers one or two steps back into the supply chain. For example, if you're buying things like plastic film or plastic bottles, it's all about the resin, and this is where you want to try to focus your cost savings efforts, because the biggest cost component in the equation is really out of your own immediate supplier's direct control. And last but not least would be a technique of cost savings teams, and these are collaborative teams, lots of effort required, working closely with your supplier, but you can get some world-class results here with the right effort and execution. So those are seven tools that I would advocate in this area.
Okay, great. Well, I'd like to learn a little bit more about each of those, and maybe we can start with aggregation, where you're actually looking to either aggregate spend across business units in your own company or collaborate with other companies. And then I guess you're kind of building your own consortium if you're working with other companies. In your experience, have you seen it work better to either build your own consortium, so to speak, or to go to an existing, say, GPO who's already attempted to leverage the spend of multiple companies?
Well, there's actually a third possibility, and all three can be effective. Joining an existing purchasing consortium may be the best option. In some cases, especially where maybe your spend's not that big and it ends up being worth it to, you know, let a little bit of the savings go to some other organization. In others, for example, in the energy area, I've seen some success, you know, simply bundling other requirements in without forming a full-blown consortium. And then certainly the other option is to take the lead and create your own consortium. And I've had some experience with that in the corrugated containers area. It was very successful, didn't achieve all the goals we wanted, but did deliver substantial savings. And the key is in whatever approach is going to make your requirements more attractive and provide your suppliers or your supply base some economies of scale that may not otherwise exist. And you can get into all kind of benefits here that maybe end up sharing the benefits, but maybe your suppliers can make more efficient production runs, or better logistics, reduce complexity, standardize specs, and so forth.
Okay. Well, number five was spec rationalization.
Mm-hmm.
And that implies that maybe the specifications that the organization is using weren't the most cost-effective. Based on some purchasing engineering relationships, that can be a sensitive issue. You know, how do you suggest approaching that so the engineering team doesn't feel like they are costing the company too much money?
Well, I think you start by not worrying about pointing the finger at anybody or insisting that there's blame or responsibility here. It's, you know, you put it under the heading of benign neglect. The best example that I can think of, and this was several years ago, when we undertook this kind of effort, and we discovered that we had between 80 and 100 different specifications across the company worldwide for water. And, you know, no reasonable person in purchasing or engineering is going to say we really need that many specs for water. And then kind of use that good example and then you go from there. Once everybody realizes that you're really talking about pragmatism and just good common sense, the barriers come down, the defensiveness goes away.
Okay, and then number six was leveraging the supply chain. One of those options may be finding that perhaps as a big company, you have more pull with one of your supplier's suppliers than they do. Maybe they are a smaller customer of their supplier than you might be. Is that what you're getting at with leveraging the supply chain to a certain extent?
That's a big part of it. What really was enlightening to me in this area is I was responsible for nonwoven fabrics several years ago. And we had a supply matrix of several suppliers across North America. All of them purchased the main ingredient, which was a polyolefin fiber, from a single source for lots of reasons, not just cost savings or leveraging volume, but it made sense for us, even though we weren't buying directly from the fiber source, it made sense for us to have a relationship. There was a lot at stake here in terms of future development direction, changing technical needs, and so forth. And by the way, we can work closely together without interfering with the relationship that exists between, in this case, the buyer and the seller, our suppliers being the buyer. And it had a lot of impact, a lot of very positive impact, required some careful management of the expectations and relationships and stepping aside and respecting our supplier's boundaries here. But for the most part, we got some good synergy and collaboration out of it.
Okay, good. So we talked in a little bit more detail about three of those seven. Are there any other points that you'd like to make about the other four that we haven't drilled down into?
Well, I think the one that I'm probably most excited about in the context we're talking about is what I refer to as the cost savings teams. And
okay.
I'm sure everybody's been involved in one form of this or another. But this has such broad reapplication in so many different areas, and it brings together lots of important sourcing and supply management skills, but equally important are skills around change management, people management, so on and so forth. There are lots of watch-outs in this one, but can deliver some otherwise not attainable results.
Okay. Now, you've shared several examples on some of these. Can you perhaps share another example about how you worked with one supplier to reduce costs, what techniques you used, and what the results were?
Sure. And as you might expect, I'm going to start with an example here of the collaborative team that I told you I found pretty exciting. And One reason for mentioning this example is that in this particular case, it really shows the power of the collaborative team approach, because we had lots and lots of obstacles and distractions and not an atmosphere that was particularly conducive to pursuing cost savings. And in my opinion, that's what lots of purchasing professionals are up against day in, day out. So this really proves that those obstacles can be overcome if this approach is executed. We had a supplier here who was a long-standing chemical producer of a critical raw material. They weren't the only supplier. They were the majority supplier. And they were our low-cost source. The tonnage and dollar volume was huge, thousands of tons per year and more than $100 million spend. We were in the middle of a multi-year contract. And we'd tried a lot of the basic tools I mentioned earlier, and had some success, but not enough. We still desperately needed to achieve further cost reduction. And that was just getting lost in the shuffle of day-to-day demands. The supply chain was being strained because our demand was surging. The supplier was experiencing some ongoing quality and delivery issues. And to make everything worse, the supplier was, from a cost-saving standpoint, that is, the supplier was very unhappy with the cost structure and was actually pressing us for price increases rather than any reductions. So we really had to find a way to get cost savings into the mix of all the other high priority supply issues without compromising any of the other quality and supply continuity needs. We'd had some success with this joint collaborative approach on joint cost savings and system improvement in other areas. So we worked things up and down the management chain in our company and then later in the supplier to get this team chartered to not just implement cost savings, but to look at improving quality and reliability. We had to kind of sell it as a bundled approach. We sat down initially with the supplier and got their buy-in somewhat reluctantly, and then we formed a team and we started meeting. And after a couple of meetings and getting through some of the early barriers, this thing really started to click. And pretty soon we had a several-page list of of pretty impressive potential cost savings projects. In the first year, we had achieved cost savings of more than 5%, while we also measurably improved the supplier delivery performance that had been an issue. And by the end of the second year, we had saved another 5% and worked through a bunch of issues with the supplier so that they were able to achieve a 30% improvement in their throughput with no additional capital expenditure. Lots of diligent application of statistical methods, theory of constraints, and other things where we had to actually turn to outside resources to get some expert help. But a big success story overall.
So what do you think would have happened if you simply sourced for another supplier instead of doing what you did?
Well, that's a very good question. And there was a lot of pressure from various directions to do just that. There were a lot of people very dissatisfied with the supplier and the supplier relationship, and so that was certainly something that we were forced to pay attention to. In this case, though, that just wasn't an attractive option. The lead time would have been much longer than we could afford, and extremely high switching costs that would have also diverted lots of resources that we really needed to be focused on the other issues in this particular supply chain. If we had undertaken that with all these kind of watch-outs in the way, it would have jeopardized our supply from the existing supplier. They would have lost interest altogether in working collaboratively with us. We would have certainly incurred higher costs because they would have just pushed through this price increase that they wanted anyway. And I think quality and reliability would have also degraded. And by the way, we were never successful in finding a lower cost source anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a moot point.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned that the supplier was a little reluctant to buy into the idea at first. Can you tell our listeners a little more about that?
Sure. This was, I kind of painted the picture here of a supplier that was unhappy with some things. They'd made some mistakes in their initial estimates for this material. They'd grossly underestimated their actual throughput rates and the complexity and quality demands. As you might expect of any supplier in this situation, when we first approached them, they just saw this as one more approach or technique or gimmick on our part to just further erode their margins. And they were already spread thin with so many other things that committing resources to a program of questionable intent was difficult. So what we had to do, both with their top management and also with their people that were really going to end up with the work to deploy this, was we had to convince them that this was different than other approaches. This was not going to be a zero-sum game. We were serious about synergy and the concept of actually sharing the cost savings that we were able to deliver. And that took a while. It's critical that the people doing the actual cost savings work feel strong ownership. So this can't be a lay-on. We had to get management support on both sides to get the ball rolling. But after that, we had to do everything within our power to create that sense of ownership. And then beyond that, you have to make sure that when you achieve success, that the people involved get lots of recognition and rewards. And then this kind of turns it into a positive, and then it really catches fire after that in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm. So that pretty much summarizes almost like a blueprint for how to get a supplier to cooperate on such a cost reduction initiative. Do you have any other ways that you might suggest that a purchasing and supply management professional can persuade a supplier to engage like that?
Well, you have to be open holistically, not just focused 100% on cost savings. You have to show a willingness to step back and let the supplier really candidly tell you their view of the relationship. Give them the chance to vent on things that you're doing that have been driving them crazy, or things that demands or requirements that you make that they think really are not business-based. So That takes time. That takes a lot of face-to-face time, exchanges. But it's where you're stepping back and trying to build a good, solid platform for a partnership that's going to endure for a while.
So far, we've talked about alternatives to switching suppliers, but let's face it, switching suppliers is sometimes the best alternative for achieving cost reductions. Do you have any guidelines for deciding when it's best to work with existing suppliers and when it's best to source for new suppliers?
Yes, I can list some things that people should think about in each situation. And, you know, as always, there's kind of a disclaimer here because you really have to look at the individual, not just the spend pool and the supply base, but what are the market conditions that you're operating under. And so I'm presuming that people are going to be doing that anyway for lots of other reasons. But basically, you know, I would say as far as bullets that fall under the category of working with existing suppliers, if you've got a seller's market, supply is tight, and your demand is surging, like in the example I mentioned, that's a big push for working with the existing supply base. If the cost of switching sources is very high, or if your ability to ultimately bring home the savings is questionable or ambiguous or risky, that's a real watch out. So you may not get what you've bargained for with a new source. When your real intent is to build a long-term partnership or alliance, and I'm not advocating that in any given case, but again, you have to step back and look at the overall business situation and decide what kind of relationship do you want, and do you want to invest some time and resources into this supplier or continue to play musical chairs. The other thing is to look at how important is the supplier to you in terms of other considerations, other parts of the value equation. Are they an important R&D resource to you? So where does price really fit into the overall value assessment? And then the last thing is when you simply, your hands are tied and you just don't have a lot of choices or flexibility. So to some extent, when you would want to switch, it's kind of the reverse of that same coin, but you shouldn't think in terms of all or nothing. In other words, it may not be a case of completely replacing a supplier, but there's certainly lots of situations where you're not comfortable with the current supply base, and you may need an additional supplier just for supply protection alone or flexibility. When those opportunities present themselves, then you should also look for, is this also an opportunity to save some money, reduce costs, streamline the supply chain, etc. So you can get more, there may be other factors that you have to consider. If you've got a material that's starting to, or already is, taking on the aspects of a commodity, those are pretty straightforward areas for switching a lot if there's value reasons to do that. And then in rare occasions, if you've got a supplier that just has a bad history of won't collaborate, won't cooperate, just difficult to deal with and taking too much of everybody's time, that's another factor. There can also be other less frequent, but issues around competitive concerns. Maybe your supplier has recently expanded their business and they're now a big competitor of yours in a critical area. Maybe there's compliance issues, things like that.
Well, that's an excellent laundry list of reasons to consider both of those alternatives. Now, are there some supplier relationships where you feel it would be a waste of time and resources to even entertain the idea of achieving cost reductions through collaboration?
Well, that's a good question, but I would have to say simple, short answer is no. I would never rule out the potential of achieving cost reductions based solely on the state of the supplier relationship. The fact is that if the dollar volume of the spend pool is big enough, you can't give up on cost reductions, even if the supplier relationship needs lots of work and repair and is not healthy. In all of what I've talked about, there's no prerequisite that you have a warm and fuzzy relationship, because I've seen lots of examples where even in a relatively adversarial relationship, we can achieve big cost reduction if there's a sufficient mutual need and business case, and the business case is strong enough to bring both parties together and improve the supply chain and deliver savings. You might not be able to use the collaborative team approach I've talked about in a lot of these cases, but maybe some of the other tools can be used, or you can go with a sort of a modified or scaled down collaborative team approach. You have to step back and look at the overall situation, the supplier relationship, the strategic importance of the spend pool. You need to determine how well you really know the supplier's organization, how important to you might they be in other areas, how important is your business to this supplier. But I'd be real careful about giving up or writing off any supplier. Even an uncooperative supplier can change as markets shift, new people come in, your requirements change. And the fact is, there's no enterprise that I know of that has all the resources needed to exploit all the possible cost savings projects. So you're constantly in this area needing to make strategic choices. And the supplier relationship per se is only one of a bunch of different elements that you have to weigh and assess to determine your risks, the probability of success, versus the resources required and the size of the potential savings. So it's a mix and a value analysis that has to be ongoing.
Okay. Rob, what else should a purchasing and supply management professional know about achieving cost reductions with options other than sourcing?
Well, some of these are things that I've probably already touched on in passing, but the kind of the highlight list of things that I would suggest people keep in mind is, first of all, no one of these tools is going to be the best in all situations or with all suppliers, and, you know, what works today may not work tomorrow and so forth. What didn't work in the past may work now. So you have to keep that kind of mindset. In terms of looking externally, all of the efforts in this area kind of presume that the user has a profound knowledge of the supply base and market conditions. You need to know what's driving each of those, what's the trend line, and have at least some decent historical perspective on where have we come from in this particular area. Internally, you have to have strong internal partnerships across all the disciplines that touch the supply chain in any way. You have to be able to deliver needed resources to support change, supplier qualification efforts, implementing cost savings ideas, and whatever else is required here. Part of the good news, though, is that what's really a key ingredient for success in all of this are the same skills and capabilities that all purchasing and supply management professionals should be honing anyway. They're essential here, and this shouldn't be viewed as a specialty that you kind of do in your spare time. It's built on the foundation of good, solid strategic sourcing work. Two other points I would make is that people frequently run into difficulty getting the support and resources they need internally for this work. And especially when dealing with the general management and others that have to really pay the bill, so to speak. Be sure that you don't miss opportunities to use the very simple math that shows the bottom line impact of the money you can save on goods and services. And it's always helpful to express this in terms of how many incremental extra cases or other shipping units does the company have to sell to deliver the same amount of profit that you're going to drop to the bottom line with your project. And one final comment is it has to be okay to fail and have false starts as long as you learn from the mistakes and demonstrate that over and over. Inaction because things are uncertain or you've got too many options, you're risk averse, is just not a formula for success in delivering any kind of meaningful cost savings results.
Sage advice. Rob, we have just a little time left for you to tell us about Paladin Associates and how someone interested in Paladin services can get in touch with an appropriate contact there.
Thanks, Charles. Let me first say we have lots of individuals at Paladin who would be very well qualified to help implement the kind of cost savings tools I've discussed. In particular, they could be valuable additions in the team formation, these kind of collaborative cost savings teams I mentioned. And many times it's very helpful to have a third party involved in these kind of efforts. That's someone who can be very objective and can help in ongoing tracking and reporting and so forth, and could serve as a meeting facilitator, which then frees up the team leader or leaders to focus solely on the task of cost reduction. And I think many suppliers would see this kind of move as a good immediate demonstration that the buyer's really committed to collaboration and synergy. Beyond that, Paladin Associates is a professional services firm focused on strategic sourcing, cost management, process improvement. For example, we're involved in strategic and e-sourcing. We have extensive commodity experience, proven processes, can help with e-sourcing solutions, either ours or those already in place. We're partnered with IASTA in this area. We've done lots of work in spend analysis as a service, can help convince your management of proof of concepts in this area. We've enjoyed lots of success in the telecom spend area and cost reduction with the average savings with clients of 30%+. Look at plan optimization, and without switching carriers, and we have some good benchmark pricing information and pre-approved contract language. It's a big help in this area. We have expertise in the energy and utility cost reduction area, change management. We offer lots of different training opportunities. In fact, in my earlier career, I was the dean of Procter & Gamble's Purchasing University for a while. Some things that differentiate us from others in this field is that we have lots of proven practical experience. Most of our people are professionals with at least 25 years or more experience in the areas we're involved in, from Fortune 100 companies. And we don't sell the A team and deliver the B team. We're big on gain share. In other words, if we don't find savings, the client doesn't pay. And we're very results-driven, focused on rapid, practical, tangible results. We'd like people to think of Paladin for increasing your organization capability through the knowledge transfer of training and coaching. Look at our specific expertise. Look at us to bridge the resource gap, because we've got all these seasoned sourcing experts that can, even on a temporary basis, help by supplementing existing staff. If people would like to contact us, our website is www.paladinassociatesinc.com. That's paladin.com. And to contact me by email, it's rjpatton, P-A-T-T-O-N, at paladinassociatesinc.com. Or you can reach me by phone at 513-476-3811.
Well, there you have it, folks. Hopefully you are now better prepared to achieve cost reductions in situations where sourcing for a new supplier just isn't practical. Rob, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
And on behalf of Next Level Purchasing, I'd like to say a special thank you to all of our listeners out there. I hope the information in today's program helps you all in having a more successful and rewarding purchasing and supply management career. Don't forget, if you want to have a more rewarding purchasing career, or if you're a purchasing leader and want to get better results from your purchasing team, the best approach to achieving these career and workplace results is the SPSM certification offered exclusively through Next Level Purchasing. You can get some more information at www.nextlevelpurchasing.com. So until our next podcast, this is Charles Dominic for Next Level Purchasing, signing off from this edition of the Purchasing and Supply Management Podcast Series. Good day.